favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
But whatever, I will look for the setting. I think
okay.
It's,
anyway,
we're okay.
Enough in iOS developments.
Yeah. Let's not. We're not here for Apple. We're here for the fucking apple of Alex's eye.
Fuck yeah, we are. You ready to get started?
Oh, now I am. Yeah,
okay. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible Peoples Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Yep.
We're lazy as hell today, so we're recording remote. Nothing's wrong. We're just lazy and tired.
No. She's bullshitting. We had a birthday celebration yesterday. We are destroyed. We need to record remotely because otherwise our bodies will shut down and we will die.
That's okay. Actually, that's the slightly more accurate thing.
A little bit. That's somewhere between.
No, I'm going to say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a peek behind the curtain, but yesterday was my actual birthday, so.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
It was fun.
We had a good day. Too. We were socializing and fucking everybody came. Well, not everybody, but you know, people could come.
A lot of people did, which was more than I expected, so.
That's right.
So today, as we draw nearer and nearer to the end of June, I could not let another year go by without tackling the one, the only, the love of my life, Pedro Pascal.
Oh, wow, yeah. I mean, it was about time. That, and I was like, and it's vampires? This is like a thirst central fucking episode for Miss Webster.
Oh, yeah, because I'm horny for vampires.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my god. They just need, you know, just a little more. Oh, you know, if they had, I think, if this movie had Elijah Dushku, I think you would just explode.
Oh, yeah, I would have spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, you would have lost it. You would have lost it.
For sure. We're talking about Bloodsucking Bastards from 2015, the year of our Lord. Holy shit. Even though this movie could have come out any time between 2005 to 2011, and I would have believed it.
Yeah, there's something a little dated about it, but also 2015 does seem like a million fucking years ago.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. That was the year before everything changed and people discovered Pokemon Go. You know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was the year before that.
I think it's just like the outfits, maybe. Anyway, as I was saying, we're talking about Bloodsucking Bastards from 2015 and what a year it was.
The mythical time before the madness that is, again, like I said before, Pokemon Go, that changed everything. That's it. Nothing else.
That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I'm kicking this off with ye old IMDb, which says, quote, a down-on-his-luck cubicle worker and his slacker best friend discover their new boss is a vampire who is turning their coworkers into the un-dead.
The un-dead, ooh.
It's not, there's a dash there for some reason.
Because why have consistency with IMDb?
No, like
they just, no.
Undead, un-dead, who cares? unquote. This was written by Ryan Mitz and Dr. God. And it was directed by Brian James O'Connell.
Those are names that we know, right?
Sure. Do you know them? Because I don't.
I know God in my heart. Let's go.
Shut up. Known atheist, Anthony Fuentes.
That's true.
Starring Fran Kranz, who you might recognize from our Cabin in the Woods episode from 2020.
How can you forget that line delivery? Because it doesn't change in any fucking sentence.
No. Joey Kern, Emma Fitzpatrick, Joel Murray, Justin Ware, Marshall Gibbons, and... Dun-da-da-da! Pedro Pascal,
that's right. A bunch of white people and our boy Pedro.
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
And this movie came out in January 23rd, 2015.
Wow, they just dumped that one, didn't they?
Did this even get a wide release? I doubt it.
They got a very limited release.
Oh, okay.
Very, very limited.
Very, very limited. And that's... its gross earnings is, let's just say, a shrug.
Yeah.
The shrug emoji.
The shrug emoji. That's
for
exactly
good measure.
What.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, again, a perfect Alex Webster episode. It is no performance metrics and free on Tubi. To me, that's like a culmination of like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it has an audience somewhere. And she's right across the town from me in Orange County.
So. Yeah. Speaking of Orange County.
That's right. The boy from OC. So we're going to talk about right now is the wonderful man we know as Pedro Pascal, who was actually born Jose Pedro Balmacada Pascal in Santiago, Chile on April 2nd, 1975. Man, that guy looks so young compared to his actual age. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy's
he looks
something
good.
Else. He's the descendant of the Allende and Balmacada families. Both highly influential in Chilean politics at some point, actually. So, he is the nephew of socialist president Salvador Allende and is also related to Chilean Marxist Andrés Pascal Allende. So,
damn.
Yeah. This guy's got some family credentials. His family was very closely associated with the movement of the revolutionary left, quote-unquote, and they vehemently opposed the military dictatorship of General Augusto Pinochet, who is a piece of shit. So, really bad dude. Really, really bad dude.
Overall,
can't emphasize that enough. Bad dude. This regime was responsible for many, 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 many human rights abuses during its reign, including forced disappearances, murder, and torture of political opponents. This naturally meant that the young Pedro and his family were forced to flee Chile as socialist revolutionaries when our boy was only 9 months of age. So, kind of a tumultuous birth, I would say, maybe a little bit.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, so on this, on his parents in particular, Mr. Pascal says, quote, "They were involved in the opposition movement against the military regime, which really meant that they were against crimes against people, because it was a really dangerous time, and a lot of people who spoke their minds were disappearing and, of course, in danger. It was a very intense climate for many years. They tried to help people, and they were caught." So, unquote, not a great time, but he did have some very, very, you know, obviously noble parents. So, his parents were outspoken about their beliefs and sought refuge at the Venezuelan embassy before being granted asylum in Denmark. Motherfucking socialist, son. That's right. So, of course, soon after, his family would settle in the good old U.S. of A. Yeah, I fucked that line up. How did I fuck up America? The U.S. of A, baby. Living in America, where Mr. Pascal would.
I was going to start going, oh, feel American.
Oh, yeah, Texas, that's right. So, of course, he would spend his childhood in San Antonio, Texas, where he became a competitive swimmer and even competed at the state level at the age of 11. Fucking A.
Wow. This is all news to me.
Dude, talent, and you came from, like, this political family who, like, were convicted in their beliefs? What a dude. So, this all stopped, though, when he discovered drama classes, actually. So this was, like, his calling. This was a straight-up calling. And, of course, sometime after this, his family moved yet again to good old Orange County, California. California.
Very good.
So, however, they would take frequent trips back to Chile, where he actually had 34 first cousins, and they were all still living their lives, as well as his sister, Lux Pascal, who is a transgender activist in their native country. So, and again, bold, being a transgender person in a very, very fascist regime. So,
yeah, she's kind of, like, all over the place, too. A lot of her stuff is, like, yeah, she does a lot of modeling work, too. She's super
really?
Cool, yeah.
So interesting. Look at this family of people who are, you know...
And cool. I think Lux came out...
It was during Game of Thrones, or after Game of Thrones?
Yeah, this was a couple years ago. It wasn't... Yeah. It was relatively recent.
Relatively recent, you know? In a couple years in the 2020s, Alex, that's like three decades.
Who right knows, there. Yeah.
Yeah. But Pedro Pascal eventually graduated from the Orange County School of the Arts in 1993 and made his way to New York City, where he would enroll in New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, which I can never say that fucking word, but there it is. Tish. And no, I don't that's know. Why I didn't get accepted. It. Why I didn't get accepted then. So,
did you apply there?
I think I did when I was younger. And I was like, I think that's I had like no good grades.
I think that's kind of like the like dream school that a lot of kids are like, I can go to NYU, and then it's NYU, and it costs like an arm and a leg.
It definitely is a destination for like fucking edgelord film nerds, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was where my goal was then.
Because you were a edgelord film nerd.
Yeah, it was exactly that. I was alluding to myself. So, but from there on out, he spent most of his time actually in good old New York City and came across a few opportunities in his early acting career. So
he did.
Alex, what were these opportunities here?
So this is where my expertise kicks in. I'm very familiar with Pedro Pascal's filmography. So early on in his career, he made appearances on shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Law and Order Criminal Intent and Law and Order SVU. He was also set to appear in the 2011 Wonder Woman TV show adaptation, although the series wasn't picked up.
He never heard of that again at all, right?
No.
Never again.
We'll get back to that eventually, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, sure. Pascal went back and forth between theater and smaller roles throughout his career at this point, mostly seeing traction in the early 2010s, but still not landing that big role. Then things changed pretty quickly.
I would say overnight. about as overnight as you can get.
So he had been informed of the role of, I don't know, who's this guy, Anthony?
Tyrion Lannister.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah. They had a recast in the middle of season 4.
Ah, so unfortunate.
Too short, not brown enough. Yeah.
Poor Peter Dinklage. So unfortunate. I always butcher his first name. It's Oberyn?
Oberyn, yeah.
Oberyn Martell, by a friend who was interested in the part. But once Pascal learned more about it, he knew he could play the Dornish prince.
Now, caveat here, actually, I don't know if it was a friend or, like, a nephew or something. Like, it was one of those ones where I saw the interview and he felt really bad about it.
Aww.
Yeah.
So he asked his friend, Sarah Paulson, to send an audition to her friend, Amanda Peet. Who was married to one of the series showrunners. This is such a, like, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, definitely. But in this case, it really worked out.
Totally. They shot the audition on an old iPhone, which looked like hell, and was also done in portrait mode in the early 2010s. Not normal stuff.
You can't selfie audition back in the day. There was only a small portion of the cameras actually had the selfie thing on it.
Yeah. So, on this, Siri Shepherd David
Benioff
says, quote, "The whole thing was very amateurish, except for the performance, which was intense and believable and just right," unquote.
Yeah, I think he actually specified in the interview, he was like, it definitely wasn't a new iPhone.
it was an old iPhone.
I think me and Pedro Pascal had an iPhone 3GS at the same time. Oof. I think so.
Oh yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Pascal was actually a fan of the show and even threw his 20 pages of script across the room after reading some major spoilers for the series, something he had been very much trying to avoid.
Isn't that lovely?
I love it. He's such a dork. Still, when people finally got a chance to see Pedro Pascal in action, he pretty much stole the season, with his performance gaining a ton of praise and opening up the door for a lot more offers.
He did. So, Oberyn Martell killed season 4. Got killed season 4, but he killed season 4 also.
Well, in if I remember correctly, in the books, he was relatively, like, he was a footnote. Like, he came in, he did what he had to do, he died for what he had to die for. But he wasn't as much of a prominent character as he was in the TV show, if I remember correctly. I think he just, like, everyone, like, fell in love with him immediately, so they're like, oh, we're gonna add some depth to his character.
Well, I wouldn't say, the way it was in the books is, I think it was the same level of story, with maybe one or two scenes added to the show, but, like, the books were huge. So in the grand scheme of that third book, yeah, he had a small part. But that season was split in two, so obviously that gives that character a lot more room in the back half of the story. So he kind of fills up a lot more time than he naturally would have. But also, yeah, the character is generally, like, the vibe is there, but there's no performance, you know? So I think nobody expected the role to be what he gave it, which was, like, swag.
Fucking gravitas, man.
Right? Like, he was something else. Because I read it in, like, I don't know, I thought it was a basic, like, oh, yeah, he's, like, from Dorne, he has an accent. I thought it was a fucking Princess Bride, like, level fucking character. And this guy's like, no, we're gonna sex this bitch up.
Yeah,
like,
I'm gonna show up and start slapping asses. It's gonna be great. Yeah. Yeah, that season means a lot to me.
To me, it's one of my favorite seasons, but, I mean, overall, but Pascal really elevates it.
Absolutely. So, moving right along, although we could talk about probably Game of Thrones for a minute, but...
There might be more questions.
We'll get into it. But turns out, though, despite his this completely revamping his film career, getting him into franchises like The Kingsman and Wonder Woman of the DC Extended Universe... See? I told you we'd come back to it.
Oh, shit. That's so surprising.
Oh, no, this. Man. Whoever could have seen this coming?
Right.
Wonder Woman from 2021. as well as starring alongside Nicolas Cage in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, it would be TV that would continue to push him towards the stratosphere.
We really got to see that movie. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
I want to watch it so bad. Everybody says it's really good and that Pedro Pascal holds his own literally against Nicolas Cage.
There we go. I love Pedro Pascal so much.
I really want to see the movie. Even the trailers, I was like, dude, he's killing it.
Yeah.
He's fucking killing it.
You could tell, like, he's just having fun. So Pascal followed up his iconic role on HBO's biggest hit with one of Netflix's biggest hits, Narcos.
Yeah, he followed it up literally with, like, another stratosphere. It's like, oh, shit, we're gonna run this bitch into the ground because this show was a hit now.
Well, he jumped from hit to hit to hit because he then used his essentially, like, golden touch to pretty much completely revitalize Star Wars when he was cast as the titular character in Disney's The Mandalorian, This Is the Way.
Damn. Wasn't that crazy, though? Like, he's just like, okay, cool. You know what? Rise of Skywalker almost killed a decades-long franchise, one of the biggest things in all time.
Yeah.
How about Pedro Pascal?
Yeah,
give it a 180.
Well, basically, it's like their Hail Mary of just like, if anyone can revitalize this franchise that is currently being driven nose-first into the ground, it's Pedro Pascal.
Dude, right?
Especially, I mean, like, I cannot emphasize enough how much I hate white collar crime. I just don't care for it. Like true crime stories, I don't care for it. Mm-hmm. So I did not care for Narcos. Like, I just didn't give a shit.
Oh.
I watched Narcos for Pedro Pascal. I really liked it, though. I did enjoy it.
It is a great show.
It's a very good show.
Well, see, you don't like the subject. I love the subject matter, and to me, it's like, it does it so well. But he really does help carry the show, too. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's good.
It's a good show. I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw enough of it to be like, okay, I saw it, I'm good, okay, moving on.
Sufficient amount of wetness?
All right. You almost see his dick. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
It's true. That's the first step, the first scene. You almost see his dick. So you're like,
cool. I see dick root. I'm happy.
There's bush. I'm good. Okay.
And I just can't believe, like, you know how down in the dump Star Wars was around this time, and literally it's like, oh, cool. Let's completely change how people think about Star Wars and the fucking performance. It's good stuff. But again, with all this, somewhere along the way, he found time to participate in this movie, Bloodsucking Bastards, which was making... Somehow, it was making rounds, actually, around the same time that Pascal was killing it in Game of Thrones. So before we get into how the video-on-demand movie was received, let's learn a few more things about Mr. Pascal based on his very popular Reddit AMA.
Very popular.
Yeah, I mean, I was around at the time.
I know, that's why I'm like, you're saying it's popular. I'm like, this is the first I'm ever hearing about it.
You were not on Reddit at the time.
I know, that's why I'm saying.
I'm giving you context.
Fine, give me some context.
God damn it. Anyways, Pedro Pascal likes villains more than he likes heroes in superhero stories, citing Gene Hackman in Superman as being particularly entertaining, and I imagine also influencing his role in Wonder Woman. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Well, he plays, other than The Mandalorian, like, he pretty much predominantly plays villains and anti-heroes.
Yeah, yeah, I think even in The Equalizer 2, I think that's a villain role also. So he does a good job of being, like, that, like,
yeah,
kind of chaotic villain.
And then
I think,
in
bit.
Triple Frontier, which I also, like, you know how many shitty movies I've watched for Pedro Pascal? So many.
I mean, as many as you're naming.
No, so in Triple Frontier, like, it's that shitty heist movie, mm-hmm, that has, with Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac,
oh,
Charlie
shit. No,
Hunnam.
What a cast! And it was bad?
It's not bad. It's you know what? It's like a dad hangover movie. It's a dad action film.
I bet my dad loves that movie.
I'm sure
he loves that fucking movie.
I'm sure. I think if you bring it up, he's seen it. But it's like, yeah, it's just like a heist movie where it's just like, okay, we're gonna do one last job and like things don't go as expected and
yeah,
it's Ben Affleck, Charlie Hunnam, Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal. I'm forgetting someone, but that's okay.
Damn.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. Anyway, he's like, they're all kind of morally gray because they're committing crime. So, yeah, makes sense.
Makes total sense. Did you ever watch Kingsman? The one.
Yeah.
Well, how was that? I didn't watch that one. I heard it was very mixed.
It was stupid, but
okay. Did you like the first Kingsman?
Yeah.
Oh, see? Okay, yeah. That's what I hear. It's kind of like, meh. But, I mean, I was willing to like check it out at some point, literally just for Pedro Pascal.
There is a compilation on YouTube that is all of his scenes, just, and it gives you the gist, it gives you the plot of the movie. It tells you what you need to know.
Link it when we're done! Yeah!
But, okay. I did see it outside of that compilation on YouTube. yeah, it's good. He plays Agent Whiskey, whose name is Jack Daniels. That's his name.
That's great.
And do you care about spoilers?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Okay.
It's an old movie at this point.
Yeah. He's a bad guy. Spoiler alert, guys. He's evil. Oh no.
Another bad guy. Ooh.
Oh my gosh, he's bad. And he dies. Yeah, that's another thing. Pedro Pascal cannot stay alive in film. Too many times I've had to watch this poor bastard die.
Brown Sean Bean, there we go.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm really nervous about how The Mandalorian ends.
I know. Oh no, that is a little heartbreaking to think about. But, I mean, in the meantime, we can learn a couple more
details.
Yeah,
please.
Here. Yeah. Apparently, Pedro Pascal, he loves bourbon and has an inclination towards junk food, but, you know, at the time of the thing, was trying to do better and hit the gym a little more because, like us mortals, he really has a hard time motivating himself. You know?
He's just like you and me. He likes bourbon and he likes junk food.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know?
You like bourbon, I like junk food. Together.
I like junk food too.
Yeah, but you know.
That's true. So, also, he says if he could go back in time, he would like to go back to the early 20s New York or Paris before the war started and when people were living it up, because he has read a lot of literature and cites that as one of the earliest sexual revolutions that helped develop modern society.
It's
so
true.
Yeah, really, really well-read man.
No, that is true. It's like, yeah, it's also just like a big... I also read a lot about early 1920s.
Oh, you guys are meant to be.
Yeah, right? We're just written in the stars, man. No, for me, I read about it a lot because there's a lot of like queer culture that was like cemented.
Yeah, sexual revolution, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
well, it was also just like, basically the there was a lot of like cross dressing, or just experimentation with gender presentation that happened. Specifically
cool.
with women dressing in like suits and stuff. It was very cool.
Oh, I've seen those photos.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh shit, that and like the flappers being like the counter. Like, it's
yeah.
What a time!
Yeah.
Man. How about these 20s, though, huh? Can we get a little?
Please, can I have a little bit? Can I have a touch more sexual revolution, please?
Can we have a little more class here?
A little. Can we just class this bitch up a little bit and, like, less 1986, please?
Yeah, just a little bit less. Just a little bit less.
Just a touch less of 1986.
I don't want to keep fighting Russia here. Anyways, so, speaking of old school shit, his favorite classic Disney film is actually Dumbo, because he likes that it makes him cry.
There's so many other classic Disney movies that can make you cry, dude.
He likes that this one makes him cry.
I guess.
I mean, Dumbo doesn't really make me cry, but it is kind of sad in a lot of ways. I used to watch it a lot. My sister loved that movie.
I did not like it.
Yeah, I got used to it.
I have no heart.
I mean, I don't know. Early Disney movies, that they're kind of... You kind of got to be in a mood sometimes, I would say.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, he was born before, like, you know, or... what do you call? He didn't grow up with, like, the Disney Renaissance like we did, you know?
No shit.
Very different, very different selection of movies available to him. So, you know, give him Dumbo. Give him Dumbo.
Okay, fine. I'm not like, saying you're a bad person for liking Dumbo. I'm just saying I personally don't like Dumbo.
Because I feel attacked right now.
Right?
For liking Dumbo.
Are you triggered?
As a boy with big ears, you know, just sometimes.
Shut up about that. Oh, my God. No, my... Oh, never mind.
No, let's keep going. Let's keep going. So, he also said if he wasn't an actor, Alex, he'd actually want to be a war journalist or a lit teacher. Look at this man.
Oh, man. Lit teacher? Pedro Pascal? Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, if he was in your school, you'd be like, I'm just doing every assignment and I, you know.
Hey, I was already a teacher's pet. Like, this would just been an extra level of just, like...
A lot of notes and margins, huh? Yeah. I have to finish this assignment, Mom.
You
want to go to sleep or what's...
Yeah, no. I didn't sleep in high school. I definitely wouldn't. No, yeah. That would have been, yeah. He would have been the hottest lit teacher on campus, bar none.
Oh. also, so he said that when he was a kid,
was
very profoundly affected when he read Watership Down.
Weren't we all, Pedro?
Yes. Yeah, when I watched it, it really fucked me up. But he also really likes Dostoevsky, so you know, he's just one of those boys.
Hey, we can bond over that too. I've also read Watership Down. Booyah.
Yeah, see? There you go. And finally, he is happy one of his first jobs was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he said that Sarah Michelle Gellar was a very nice person.
Have you seen this clip of him in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I have not.
He's like 23. He is a fucking child.
That's so weird. I will track it down because I literally can't even imagine.
No, he's like so young in it. And like, and yeah, when I saw it, because I know, I when I saw it, I immediately recognized the episode because I know, and but it's I was
your,
like...
Yeah. Your encyclopedia for Buffy.
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I say as I look over at all of my DVDs of every season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I think Buffy the Vampire Slayer deserves a Gus Van Sant style remake of one of the episodes.
Oh, you want to redo it?
I want to.
Because there are more episodes we could cover.
I want to explore a little more.
We could always maybe cover the movie, which I'm not a fan of, but it's there.
If it's there, we'll see. And we'll see.
It's there. No, there's a lot of options. They also, there's, for Buffy, there's a musical episode.
Okay.
There's a couple episodes that are, like, supremely fucked up, and so...
Oh, the dark side of Buffy.
The dark side, well, okay, yeah. We can only go so far. What? Network, oh my TV? God, what network? It aired on the Fox CW. Or no?
WB.
WB, yeah. It's a network fucking TV program. Like, it's not too dark, but...
It says the criminal minds lady.
What they could get away with in, like, 1998 versus what they could get away with, like, just, like, 6 short years later.
Yeah, that's true. Big distinction, yeah. That's right. But anyways, Pedro Pascal is still killing it on The Mandalorian, by the way. And we actually are going to have to end up revisiting this man after some time, since his next major project is HBO's adaptation of The Last of Us. Ah, which is fucking huge.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's take a little break here before, you know, let's just talk about the movie. Can we talk about the movie, Alex?
Of course. And I would love any excuse to revisit him, so.
Well, let's fucking do it.
Let's do it. So, The critical reception for Bloodsucking Bastards can best be summed up with a resounding... It was fine.
It was fine. Yeah.
It was fine. The AV Club leaned slightly positive, saying, quote, "For a Friday night rental with some friends and a six-pack or three, you could do much worse," unquote. I actually agree with that. You could do much, much worse.
Honestly, the conditions they lay out, totally understand. Totally understand.
Friday night rental.
That's how you watch the movie.
Yes, with some friends and a six-pack or three. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And if it was 2015, you're like, oh, it looks pretty good in the Redbox. Like, that's how that happened. That's how that happened.
The Hollywood Reporter had similar levels of indifference, saying, quote, "Hardly state-of-the-art, but offers enough bro banter to amuse, especially in the hands of this unexceptional but likable cast."
Oh, unexceptional but likable. That's
them.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of accurate also. Wow, these critics.
Kind of on it. So after its premiere in 2015 at Slam Dance, Scream Factory got its grubby little hands on the movie and put that bitch on VOD. You can get your Pedro Pascal fix on Tubi for free. As of the time of this recording, it is streaming there right now. Go.
Right there.
Just go. You know,
90 minutes.
It's so quick. It is easy peasy. Mm-hmm. It goes down easy. You know, out of the, as a proud member of the Pedro Pascal fandom, no, on Twitter, like, groups of people who were just, like, kind of going through his entire filmography. Never was this movie mentioned.
That's so interesting.
Because everyone was more focusing on, like, I'm going to watch Narcos, or I'm going to watch, like, I'm going to, like, I saw him in Game of Thrones, so I'm going to rewatch, his season of Game of Thrones. Or just, like, all, like, the basically critically acclaimed shit he was in.
Yeah, yeah. Or, which, for an actor that long in the industry, and it's not everything.
Right. And, yeah, like some of the stuff that I've seen him in, I'm just like, what? What are you doing? Honey, I know you're not struggling for a paycheck. You know?
He just wants the luxuries. Let him have the luxuries.
Well, and also that's kind of what I realized is just, like, some of the stuff that he's been doing recently, like, he's just having fun.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Yeah, but this movie was, like, very seldom mentioned. I'm like, it's him playing a vampire. What more do you want? Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, I wrote a wrong word in there. I don't even know what that was supposed to be.
What the fuck is that, Anthony?
Oh, with a Y.
Gotcha.
Dr. God, there you go.
Cool. So... So Dr. God Comedy ended up with a sci-fi show sometime after this movie, but have since seemingly slowed down since COVID became a thing.
Yeah, they stopped updating. They stopped updating their IG.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Yeah.
Which doesn't have that many followers, unfortunately. Crazy. You know, sorry guys. God was not on their side.
I mean, God was not on their side. COVID, you know.
Yeah.
Very, that was a terrible pun. Are you happy? Are you proud of yourself?
A little bit.
Now, if you thought the majority of the reviews for this film on Letterboxd, which amounts to exactly 963 reviews at the time of this recording, were going to be anything but ferociously thirsty for Pedro Pascal, you would be mistaken.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Still, this one's only at 3 stars right now, so let's see what Letterboxd has to say. I'm so excited for these. Oh my god.
There's a lot. Just for you. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Kenna with 4.5 stars. Sexy ass vampire Pedro Pascal. I'm free on Thursday if you want to hang out. Please hang out with me on Thursday when I am free. Me!
Oh, that's great. That's good. It's Wednesday. You're good tomorrow.
I'm busy tomorrow. Fuck. But for him, I'd be free.
Yeah.
Shit. Lay very sternly says in their 3-star review, quote, "If vampire Pedro Pascal kills me, do not prosecute him. He caught me slipping. That's on me!" !!
Yeah, two. There's two.
Victory, with her generous 5-star review, says, quote, "The softest of my comfort movies. Heart emoji. Cheesy emoji. Heart emoji. Also, always good to see Pedro Pascal covered in blood to get the emotions going, right?" !!
tries to watch the movie. Like, ah, it's a good movie. Also, though,
I would never call this a comfort movie. It's like it's very, even though this came out in 2015, like it very much has like late 2010s humor.
It does. Yeah, we'll talk about it honestly.
It's kind of silly.
It's kind of silly.
But I, again, enjoyable for me, mm-hmm. but we'll get into it. Nick says in their 2.5-star review, Pedro, please feel free to tear straight through my carotid artery.
Oh, Nick.
Oh, again. Me! just ended already. Drew May awarded it 3.5 stars, saying, quote, this started off, like, straight up bad, which had me worried, but then it got much better, and I really enjoyed it, and it was just batshit crazy, very satisfied by my continuous Pedro Pascal thirst watch, unquote. See, again, this is what I mean. This is what it's about, man.
It was really hard to find reviews that didn't mention him, so I just went, fuck it.
I was going to say, slap them all. I bet you everyone who watched this movie was just because I want to see Pedro Pascal bite bitches.
And yeah.
Bite bitches he does.
Got enough of that.
And then finally, Zara Gwen gives Bloodsucking Bastards 3 stars, saying, quote, I fucking screamed when Matthew Lillard showed up. Love that guy, unquote.
That was the one.
That was the one.
That was the one.
Matthew Lillard has mostly done Scooby-Doo since making this movie. Let's see how much we can talk about it before getting to Pedro Pascal.
Discussion time!
I was so pleasantly surprised to see him. I was like, hey, I know you.
It was for like a couple like shots. Like it wasn't, I think it was in the same take, honestly.
It was, I think he showed up as a favor to someone. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. was it.
Met him at a bar. You're like, oh, you know what? It's fucking fine.
Fuck it. Yeah, this is 2015. He didn't have anywhere to be.
Mm-hmm. No, looking at that filmography, Matthew Lillard was pure Shaggy from there on out.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up. But, you know, we're not talking about Matthew Lillard really that much right now. What are we talking about?
We're talking about Pedro Pascal.
Ah! That's right. Bloodsucking Bastard. So, Miss Webster, birthday girl, what did you think of Bloodsucking Bastardos?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, I mean, honestly, I went into it thinking I was not going to enjoy it. I thought it was, because when we were talking about it last night, you were mm-hmm. saying that it kind of had, like, this, like, student film vibe to it, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to like this. So I was preparing for the worst. And yes, I did watch it today. Thank you for asking.
So I knew you would.
Because I like coming into this with a clear mind. I also procrastinate like a motherfucker. It's just how I schedule things. It keeps me on task. Anyway, yeah. So I thought it was fine. It was chill. I did agree with that AV Club thing, that mm-hmm. that review, that thing. I know words.
that word doc they slap up every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, sure. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, there's not a lot. Like, I'm really glad you didn't do a play-by-play because it's very straightforward. Like,
yeah.
It's a very straightforward movie, but I will say I did enjoy it more than I anticipated. I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, like, it doesn't require a lot of brain cells.
It really does.
Which I enjoy in a horror film right about now, so.
Yeah, it is dumb fun, but it is dated. I think it's a remarkably dated film.
It is dated.
It feels like a Comedy Central original movie. Right? Like, it didn't get...
Yeah, it's like...
They played on Comedy Central. If
Comedy Central or, like, college humor...
Yeah.
...made a horror film.
And they just did... They had, like, money, but not, like, enough. So they're like, hey, special effects, maybe last 30 minutes. Just do what you can until then. We're gonna make the screen red, and we're gonna... cut out here and there, but...
And we're gonna make this... Can. Yeah, we're gonna make this, like, the weirdest Office you've ever seen. I did, like, the commentary on Office, like
oh, yes.
Office
yes.
life. That was fun. But that's just because we both have, like, worked in offices, so we're kind of, like, familiar with that, so...
Yeah, no, actually, I think that was one of my questions here, but, you know, might as well just do it right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because, like, that's one theme that I think it kind of does nail... because that's where the stupidity comes from. Like, my favorite line the whole time in this movie was when they're like, wait a minute, like, vampires can't get exposed to sun, but this place is so dreary and dead that they're just existing in here? That's how shitty our fucking office is? Like, with the fluorescent lighting?
Yeah, our office is so devoid of sunlight that vampires can just exist there, and it's just like...
Like, during the day? It's fucking... Like, that was great. I like little shit like that they did. And then also, I actually enjoyed how forgetful their slacker friend was, which is a relic of the 90s, and he was the total 90s relic, like, in this movie. But I did really love that when he was going back and, like, the little flashbacks, like, oh, little evidence that they were vampires. Does anybody else know? And then the fuck security guard is, like, they do the scene again, but with the security guard just right in frame.
So...
That was funny.
Okay, I was wondering, because I wasn't sure if you were going to think that was stupid or you really liked it, because I
loved it.
Fucking loved it.
I loved it.
I thought that was so funny.
Right? I was like, oh, that was actually pretty clever, okay. Like, the movie has pockets of that and then pockets of just, like, quips that don't land all the time.
Yeah, so we got some, for some reason, early 2000s transphobic humor. We got some early 2000s homophobia. Mm-hmm. We got some shit to unpack. We also just got some just, like, plain, like, unfunny, like, just, like, stupid, like, basically, men are useless. Isn't that funny? Like,
yeah.
It's like, no, it's not, but sure.
You don't like the female protagonist with no personality? You don't remember that trope from back in the day?
Oh, man.
That just exists?
I forget. Honestly,
right?
I watched so many movies that have come out in the last, like, 10 years that I'm like, oh, yeah, how far we've come.
She's there to get mad when they're being dumb and be fallen in love with. That's the goal.
No, that's exactly it. She's there to make, like, sarcastic, like, you're dumb. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe I ever had feelings for you. Meh.
See? Yeah. And the thing is, like, when he keeps saying, I love you, like, I was like, okay, it's kind of funny when they bring it back, like, maybe a couple times, but then they kind of run it a little too much into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, guys, the joke's done. The joke stopped. Don't do the joke anymore.
I don't know. I think this could just be, like, a symptom or a consequence of just, like, TV shows of the time, but just, like, handling relationship conflicts like this, where it's just like, I said I love you, and you said no, I'm gonna just cold shoulder you and, like, make it everyone's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was just stupid.
It works for a 22-minute runtime. I don't know about a 90-minute runtime.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the TV, you can kind of have, like, one angle, like, one episode based off of that, and even then it's forgettable, but it happens. And this is, like, the through line of the movie.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it didn't need to have a romantic through line.
It really didn't. No, that kind of actually slows the movie down.
That was, like, my frustration, where it's just, like, and I think because they thought that it would make it tense when Pedro Pascal's character was like, oh, I'm going to fuck your girlfriend, like...
Yeah. Although, you know what? The thing is, like, I don't feel like these two characters, the love interests, like, liked each other.
They had no chemistry.
They had no chemistry. There was nothing there.
None.
She had definitely more with Pedro Pascal when she was kind of thirsting for him a little bit. But also, that could just be Pedro doing this fucking thing.
I know. I was just like, yeah, he like, existed in her general direction. He just kind of does that.
And she believably fawned over him. There you go. That's what we got. So, I don't know. This, again, I would... Okay, so student filmy may have been a little harsh.
I'm going to say that's pretty harsh.
No, it definitely has, you know, a little more chops than a student film, for sure.
But also, we are saying that it has the film gravitas of, what did we say? Comedy Central and College
movie.
Humor. So, I'm not going to say, like, it's much better, but...
No, it's definitely, like, here you guys, like, you know somebody, right? We have this much money, we need to fill the slot, bam.
Yeah, pretty much.
Movie. You got a movie.
You get a movie. There you go.
And this is that movie. But I mean, also, like, okay, so the other cast too, like, I think they played up the doofusness just a little too much.
Oh my god, I know. Like, I'm like, okay, I get it. We're making fun of, like, office life where it's like you do nothing all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that. But I think, Like, there's, like, that scene where it's just, like, they're just sitting there, like, all day, just, like, playing, like, like, this, like, that pass back and forth thing where they're, like, hut, and then they're just, like, passing shit back and forth to each other. And it just was, it landed so stupidly for me because the second, like, a boss poked their head out the window, they're, like, oh, we're working. And it's just, like, that's not...
No, it's dated. See, that's kind of dated. Office wouldn't do that. The Office would not do that. Well, they do it funnier. I don't know. But there are little things I liked, like when they were. One thing I found myself weirdly kind of okay with was when the doofusy friend and the one that got turned to a vampire were trying to like figure out like should I kill you or should like. You just live, or how do we figure this out?
Or should we just, like, coexist and be friends?
Yeah, they were having that little game and back and forth, and I'm like, okay, that's, like, not a bad thing to cut back and forth to, but they still do it too long.
Dude, they do it so many times. I'm like, what are we getting out of this?
I think that they just need to hit 90 minutes, Alex.
I guess.
I think they need to hit 90 minutes. They're just like, okay, cool, we have enough material for, like, a full movie now, and, like, one setting. So we're good.
It's true. This entire... Yeah. I think outside of, like, one apartment scene, this entire movie takes place in one location.
Dude, and the end, too, because I was like, oh, they're in L.A. on a lot. They walk out of a lot. They walk out of an office. They walk out of a studio lot.
They did. Okay, I'm glad. Right? I am so glad you noticed that, too, because, like, when the sun is setting, I'm like, that is L.A. as shit.
Dude, see, like, we probably walked that street at some point.
I'm sure.
Like, lost, looking for Davy Wayne's or some shit.
Like, drunk. Yeah. Like, where's Davy Wayne's? Where is
fucking
it?
Vampires.
Where's Pedro Pascal? Where is he? Take me to him.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm just going to lead into the next question then while we're talking about it. But do you think a larger budget would have affected the movie at all?
Like, no.
No, right? I don't think it could have changed anything.
I think it just, it's like, yeah, it's, and I don't want to say this was a shitty movie, because it wasn't a shitty movie.
No.
But it's like, yeah, you mix 5 pounds of shit and 10 pounds of, like, anything, you still have 15 pounds of shit. Like, it's just like, and it's not me saying that it's a shitty movie, but it's just like, I don't think adding more money would have made this any more elevated. Like, I think it was perfect for what it was.
Yeah, okay, so I think the only thing money could have done, really, was provide more locations and vary the story up a little bit more.
Okay, but, yeah, maybe like, a touch better set design, maybe a little bit better special effects, but even then, like, that's, like, minute.
It's all about the writing, and I don't think the writing was really that strong.
Yeah, sorry, I don't think Dr. God was, like, really ready to put it through the ye olde, like, you know, like, go through it a couple more times.
Yeah, I think it definitely had to be gone through a couple more times, for sure. Or have, like, a director who, like, I don't know, worked in movies.
Right.
I don't know what this guy did.
Yeah, I think this also could have really been beneficial if a director who has worked on movies before. We could be... What is this guy? Did you look this guy up? I'm sure you did.
I didn't. I did not, actually.
Oh, you didn't? I was like, no. Oh, I'm sure you did your job.
Yeah, normally I do. I just... I was more focused on Pedro Pascal, to be honest with you.
Okay, fair.
Can we figure out what this guy did before?
Nothing worth noting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit. Yeah, I don't think a bigger budget would have really helped. It just is the movie. It is what it is. It really is carried by our boy.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of steals every scene he's in.
I agree.
And, like, resoundingly so. Like, everyone else kind of sucks when they're in the same... Like, even when they're doing the phone calls. I'm like, just cut back to Pedro.
Just cut back. Yeah.
Yeah, he's delivering.
No, none of these movies I recognize.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. Okay, well, you know, we just have podcasts. We're fine.
Yeah, whatever.
He still made a movie.
Yeah, I mean, him. Big props. He's made a movie. He's worked with Pedro Pascal. I can't say that. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. What if, they probably had lunch or something.
It's multiple times, you know? Like, it's cool. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know.
Yeah, you know, I would say, I don't know if mid is the right categorization for this movie, but it's upper mid.
I don't even want to call it mid, because it's just, like, it's... And I don't even want to say it's, like, mediocre, because then I feel like I'm, like, insulting it. But it's not
mediocre.
What?
It's not mediocre, per se.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not, like, I just want, it's just perfectly acceptable for what it is. Like, it's not trying to be anything, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Adequacy of the film.
It's adequate, which sounds even worse than calling it mediocre, but sure.
No, I mean, you're getting your fix. you're getting your fix out of it.
You're getting your fix. Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
In terms of workplace comedies, there isn't often a huge supernatural edge to, like, any of them, really. So, what other creatures aside from vampires would you think work within the workplace setting? And would it change the social commentary that we see in this movie at all?
Frankenstein monsters.
It's like a whole office of Frankenstein monsters?
Yeah, can you imagine?
Well, I never thought about that in my entire life until you said it right now.
It begs the question. Imagine it?
Yeah, okay. Wow. That'd be interesting. Yeah, so when were you created? Man, I was creating a fucking, oh shit, yeah.
Well, and then I'm also imagining, like, traditional Frankenstein monsters where it's just like, they're like, printer paper.
They have the printer budget is actually, they keep breaking the printers.
Yeah, or it just, right? Or they keep breaking, like, keyboards. Like, it's just, it's really rough. They're huge, like, sausage fingers. Like, yeah. Huge, like, Boris Karloff, like, fingers.
Oh my gosh, that'd be great. Yeah. And, like, the Bride of Frankenstein ladies.
Yeah, and you know what? In true sexist fashion, they're the secretary.
Oh, absolutely. They're just answering the phone.
They're answering. Yeah.
Can you get me in at 5? I don't fucking know what she's saying. Should we just go? Like,
she's like gesturing, like, to take a seat. Yeah.
It's like, we can't see what you're doing, lady. Zoom. Actually, that's a good idea. I like the title. So, I like the series of Frankensteins.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's a good bit.
What about you?
Not for 90 minutes, but
hey,
still pretty good.
For a short, for like 15 minutes, it'd be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, for a short, that would be
And then there's,
good.
Like, the big boss Frankenstein who has, like, oh, I'm trying to think, like, glasses. He's, like, he's the boss one. Like,
oh, yeah, he doesn't get up from his desk either.
No.
He just looks up.
Or he's wearing, like, he's the one who's wearing, like, a suit jacket. Everyone else is wearing something ridiculous, but he's wearing, like, a suit jacket or,
yeah.
Like,
oh!
He's extra dressed up, like, because he's the boss.
Dude, he comes into the sales room and he just gives his, like, fucking, like, his Leo DiCaprio speech, but he's like, oh.
Everybody's like,
that's such a good idea. Okay, I'm liking it more that we're riffing. That's good. I wrote this question. I could not think of one fucking thing.
Really?
Oh, wait, I just thought of it right now.
There's so many. I could do this all day.
Hold on. Office full of ghosts. But okay. It's shot like Paranormal Activity, so they're all not on screen at all, except the one guy who got hired.
Okay, the intern.
Like the intern, he's like, "How does this fucking work?" And like,
and
shit's
all
moving
of a sudden,
around
shit's
him.
Shit's moving around by itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, shit gets done. So at the end, he's like, "Oh fuck." Did print out. Wow, I could... You know
and
it?
Then
no,
all
email
of a sudden,
it.
Like, he thinks, like, stacks of papers are being, like, thrown around, but really they're being organized.
Yeah, they're being organized, right? Yeah. He's just, like, chill, like, shit. And it's, like, him and, like, two other interns.
I think we're just... We're reinventing what we do in the shadows.
Yeah, we're using some of the elements for sure. But, like, invisible ghosts in the office and, like, two just people playing the straight man would be fantastic.
Okay, I fucks with it.
Oh, computer family turning on and shit.
Yeah, the traditional other option would be zombies, of course.
Oh, X-Play, an old video game show from the 2004. They did a really good Office Zombies bit.
Okay, yeah. Like, Office Zombies is classic because everyone's brain dead and everyone hates it here.
The bit was, it was a regular office, but then one guy was a zombie because he got hired through a temp agency and he was trying to do like a office bit, talking to the camera. He's like, yeah, you know, it's not easy since being undead and blah, 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 blah. And it shows him, like, losing fingers and, like, the copier and shit.
Did you ever
and, like,
watch...
trying to get it back.
Okay, I don't know if you're, like, way into British humor. But do you ever watch The IT Crowd?
No, I've heard it's really good.
It's funny, if you can tolerate early 2000s British humor, or just early 2000s British, like, TV. Like, it just kind of looks weird. It looks different. But it's, they basically have, like, a creepy guy living in their closet, played by Noel Fielding. I don't know if you know who that is or not.
No idea.
Okay. I watch a lot of British television.
I don't. This is all new.
Okay. anyway, you've seen memes of this guy. Like, for
most
sure.
Most likely have, I'm sure.
You've definitely seen memes, like, anyway. But it's just a running joke that he, like, is, like, living in their closet. And it's, and he comes out, like, every now and again and says, like, some creepy shit and, like, goes back. And that's kind of also the vibe.
That is a definite early 2000s, like, trope or, like, a thing that happens in, like, shows. Because they, they didn't half-baked also. Like, just the guy down on the couch.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, yeah, the guy on the couch. And every once in a while he has, like, insight and you just go back to sleep. Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know. We got over it, apparently. So
we moved past it, thank God.
We have moved past it. Wow, okay, so we actually covered that, the next question. So, but having been made by Dr. God Comedy Group, their humor clearly defines the picture. How do you feel about comedy groups in general and their place in film, TV, and movies? And do you have any particular comedy groups that you like to watch?
Oh, God. No pun intended. You answer this first. I don't know.
If they're funny, I'm, like, good with it. But also, you can tell if the humor gets dated, then the movie gets dated. So that's usually what ends up happening. A good one is Broken Lizard, who does, like, Super Troopers, Club Dread, and, like, Broken Lizard to me is fun.
Okay.
But they didn't... I think the world moved past them a little bit. So they can't really do a Broken Lizard comp. They tried Super Troopers 2. I didn't watch it. Apparently, if you're a fan of the first one, it's okay. But I think that's kind of where comedy groups kind of fall. Like, when they try to fall back on the thing that made them big, it doesn't quite work out as well, because comedy evolves pretty considerably. Like, the first Anchorman is another example of, like, Judd Apatow's, like, crew. And then how that kind of changed when they tried to do the sequel. They're clearly different people at this point, and their humor doesn't resonate as much as it did in its 2004 era, you know? Mm-hmm. So...
That makes sense.
I don't know. I enjoy comedy groups. Like, some of them are a lot of fun, and if they can evolve with their comedy, then, you know, way to go. But if not, you end up with Bloodsucking Bastards, which is good for its time, and then is less good as the years progress.
Yeah, I think this is a game of diminishing returns. I think with each passing year, this movie is going to become slightly less funny, and eventually it's going to become not funny at all.
Then it is exclusively Pedro Pascal thirst.
Yeah, but that'll be many, many, many years in the future, because I think it wasn't... I don't think it was unfunny.
Yeah, see, that's a good... I don't think it was unfunny. There you go.
Oh, good.
Our summation.
The bottom of the fucking barrel. I don't think it was unfunny, but.
Yeah. But.
Okay, it fair exists. Enough. Yeah. For me, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't particularly know enough about comedy groups in general and their place in film to really have an opinion on the matter.
Well, it'd be like the classics would be like National Lampoon kind of stuff. Like,
never seen them.
John Belushi, but like, you know, like the SNL movies and things. Adam Sandler's crew.
Okay.
Yeah, but also Adam Sandler's crew is a good indicator of just what I was talking about. Really high peaks.
Really low lows.
Really low valleys, and the valleys were more consistent as the years went along.
Okay, so, fair enough.
Again, they don't evolve, they just stick to what they know, they're going to get left behind or, you know, derided. So,
okay.
Evolve! Just evolve, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think it's just rolling with the times and, like, being willing to, like, accept criticism and being willing to, like, grow and, like, roll with the changes, right? Because I think that's a big part of it, as just, like, as a comedian, you have to be able to change and grow and, so.
And make it past COVID.
And make it past COVID.
Make it past COVID. That's
I don't know what the fuck they're up to, but you know, maybe rebrand. Maybe not go by Dr. God. Just a thought.
Yeah, that's not going to get a good crowd reaction. I don't think.
I mean, either way, the religious folk are being like, "Oh, you're taking the Lord's name in vain." There.
Well, yeah. Right. And then, like, I feel like the comic nerds be like, well, what about Dr. Manhattan? He's, like, God. Like, there's no angle where this works.
No, exactly. Like, it's just, no one's winning. No one's winning. Everyone's getting mad. Someone's walking. Someone's crying. It's not good. It's not good.
The people who, like, are like, you know, that praise clever names, like, not even clever, bro. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, either way, you know what? We're done trying to I have put enough content in this episode to just talk about the film. Let's go back to our boy.
Yeah.
I think now it's time to talk about our boy again.
Sure.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about Pedro Pascal's journey breaking into the Hollywood scene from his early career? And how do you feel about the general, like, the rapid shift in popularity when it came to Game of Thrones and his particular role in there?
Okay, I thought you were going to be like, how do you feel about Pedro Pascal? And I'm like, I thought it was pretty fucking obvious at this point, but...
No. That's obvious when you just say his name.
Capital H horny. No,
yeah. There's a lot of S in the S right there, yeah.
For me, like, I enjoyed him in Game of Thrones. But then I wasn't, like, into, like, I didn't start, like, you know, I didn't start making the joke about, like... you know, how much I love him on the podcast until, like, later. It wasn't until, I want to say The Mandalorian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's pretty recent.
Yeah, it was, I mean, season one came out in, like, 2019?
I think so.
So, it's, like, and that was when I was just like, okay, you're cool. I'm going to see everything you've ever been in ever. And then I was like, oh, shit, yeah, he was in Game of Thrones. Oh, shit, yeah, I have seen him in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh, shit. So.
Have I been secretly falling in love this whole time?
Oh, my God. No, this whole time I've just been secretly, no. And we've been secretly communicating, and no, that's how stalkers are made. No, I'm kidding.
Don't give yourself away on this one.
No. No.
And I know
no.
the layout of his house.
Oh my God, that would be so creepy. No. It's just really cool seeing, like, even from, like, The Mandalorian, just seeing his popularity fucking explode. Yeah. Like, just seeing him become, like, right now, one of the most widely beloved Star Wars characters.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah. Ever. In this, like, half a century fucking...
Like, I would say it's, like, him and, like, Luke Skywalker. And even then, people got some shit to say about Luke Skywalker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's been more times for Luke Skywalker's character to get fucked up than Mandalorian.
But I think that also is just, like, a perfect storm. Because The Mandalorian is, like, a TV show. Like, it's just, like, a perfect combination of just... awesome acting, awesome writing, awesome just, like, it's a perfectly contained story.
Yeah. It tells its own, it's not, I mean, it is tied somewhat to the actual, the series, I mean, clearly, with, like, some of the stuff that happens in the later season.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, but it doesn't, it's not a crutch.
No.
It doesn't feel like a crutch, really. It actually, it feels...
it's
organic almost.
Yeah.
Like, you want it.
Yeah. Well, and at that point, it's like, it's stuff that you want, right? Especially, like, in even those, like, kind of things that you want to see, it's more, I don't want to say, like, auxiliary, but it's, like, kind of almost like Easter eggs, where it's, like, those little tiny things where it's, like, really cementing where he is, like, in the Skywalker saga, or, like, in the timeline, right?
And you're, like, just hoping it works. I'm like, I hope they don't fuck this up, because it's so good.
If they fuck this up,
it won't be because of Pedro, I'll tell you that.
No, John Favreau, I'm in your fucking walls, dude.
Yeah. That's where the stocking's coming right there.
No, if you fuck... no, I can't imagine him fucking this up.
No, he's too good.
Yeah, so... but, yeah, what about you?
Oh my God, okay, so with this guy... Pedro Pascal.
This fucking guy.
Well, as a fellow brown boy, I always root for other brown actors that like, can do... like, can actually... like, you know, as a kid, I was like, oh, Antonio Banderas, one of us. Like, what are those?
Right.
But Pedro Pascal, to me... well, first, I just love Game of Thrones.
And of course.
The fact that he elevated a character that I was like, oh, okay, that character exists, he's pretty cool, and turned it into, like, holy... I feel like you can tell he had star power. I can tell he had star power right when he was playing Oberyn. I'm like, holy shit, this guy, like, he's not a lead character, but he can fucking lead.
Well, he,
like, you put a script in, he can lead.
He still acts like he is. Like, I remember seeing this, it was something, but he was talking about how he improvised, like, the hand over the candle thing.
Yes, that was one of the behind the scenes things,
yeah. It was, like, an improvised thing, and, like, it was, like, that one moment where, like, everyone was just like, he's a badass bitch.
He don't give a shit.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. And it was, like, completely improvised, and, yeah, so it was, like, those little moments like that where, like, he really, like, cares about his characters, you know?
And, well, because he's a good actor.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. And I think when I learned that he was going to be in Narcos, I remember thinking, like, fuck yeah, Oprah got another thing. Like, I was very psyched, and it was good.
Yeah.
So it started being a thing where I'm just like, dude, I know he's going to be a star. Like, I know he's going to be, like, a star. Like, that's on the path. I was just hoping he wouldn't be, like, too general audience, because that tends to happen to a lot of people, too. And Wonder Woman was kind of fluttering on that one a little bit. But he also stole the show in Wonder Woman compared to literally every other part of the movie.
So, Wonder Woman I haven't seen yet, because I literally do not give a shit, which...
Yeah. He basically makes the movie.
Oh, my God. You know what I fucking watched? I watched that, like, children's movie where he plays a dad.
I've never seen that.
I think Robert Rodriguez directed it. It's We Could Be Heroes. Hold on. I need to find it now. We can be... I'm typing with one hand. Hold on. We can be heroes. Yeah. Came out in 2020.
Okay.
And it's, like, literally just, like, children as, like, the children of heroes. And, like, them kind of trying to save their parents. Yeah, so when alien invaders kidnap Earth superheroes, their children must team up to learn to work together if they want to save their parents in the world. It's directed by Robert Rodriguez. It was like a Netflix thing. I watched it because Pedro Pascal was in it, and that was the only reason I watched it, and he has like mad DILF energy the entire time. It was awesome.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is the movie at least okay, or you're like...
Hey. It has a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was very heartwarming.
Man, okay, see, there you go. Whoa. And you know what? Again, as we've talked about Dust Till Dawn, I support my brown directors as well.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez was great in it. I mean, obviously, for obvious reasons, it has Spy Kids energy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was assuming because of Robert Rodriguez.
Right, exactly. So it has, like, that energy to it. So it was enjoyable. Like, again, this was in, like, I was in, like, a fever dream of Pedro Pascal. Like, I was just, like, this was after, I think, season 2 of The Mandalorian ended. And I was just like, I need to watch everything he's ever been in right now or else I'm going to die.
See, that's and you skipped Wonder Woman.
because I was like, I can watch Wonder Woman or I could watch We Could Be Heroes because they came out at the same time. And better option because he's not a villain.
Well, there you go. Well, okay, so then that makes sense. I would say Wonder Woman...
doesn't die. He doesn't die in Wonder Woman, does he?
I have no idea.
You didn't.
I can't remember. To be honest with you, it was so forgettable a movie.
That's rough. Do you know how terrible that is? Just here, like that. It's that forgettable.
It really is. However, I say do the thing like you recommended me. Track down all those Wonder Woman scenes on YouTube.
Find
that video.
I'm sure that compilation exists too.
Yeah, because he was good in it. He had that weird, like, chaotic energy that I feel like, oh, it's because he's a good actor.
Oh,
that's why
he's good at his job.
Because he knows how to act.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Good for him. Way to go.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm just hoping he has, like, the streak continues, and then we get less of the forgettable movies and more of the ones that, like, Nicolas Cage shit.
Yes.
And, like, good TV shows. And, like, he's got a golden touch.
Yes.
You know? So, let him keep doing his thing.
I just read ahead to the next question. I'm so glad you asked this, because I actually have something exactly in mind, so...
Okay.
Would you like me to kick it off?
Let's go.
Okay. So, moving right along, what are some of our favorite current roles for Pedro, and where would you like to see him go next in terms of his acting career? Any franchises he could lend his chops to that would fit his style?
Ooh, I wrote that for you.
I mean, I can answer it while you think.
Answer it. Go for it. That's all you, lady.
Okay. So, my current favorite role is Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. Well, not obviously, but that's currently my favorite.
That's the role. Yeah.
And then in terms of where I want to see him go next, and this isn't just, like, but I saw this on Twitter and I can't get it out of my head. I need to see him play a serial killer.
Oh, that would be interesting.
I need, like, full-blown horror film. I need like, full sicko mode, like,
oh my
fucking
God,
Pedro Pascal serial killer.
What if he was in Fresh instead? Dude,
what if he
was in Fresh instead?
Oh, man.
I think I just made Alex a little wet just saying he would be Fresh.
No.
Because if you've seen Fresh, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, that movie made my perv radar like go many different directions.
Yeah, I don't know how, but it was Pedro Pascal.
Yeah,
same exact scenes as Sebastian Stan, but with Pedro Pascal.
I don't
doing
know,
his
no,
because
here's
Pascal
the thing:
thing.
Is Sebastian Stan killed Fresh?
Yeah, no, he did a really good job.
So that's... I don't know. No.
I think it would work, though.
Something a little bit more like Criminal Mindsy.
Okay.
Like a little bit more
some more your audience, that makes sense.
Yeah. A little bit more slashery.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Like serial killer energy. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, he'd be very manipulative, I would imagine.
Yeah, he plays villains really well, and I just need to see that like, layered energy that he brings to all of his villains to, like, a really good horror film.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, I that's something that I really want to see.
That makes sense.
Also, like, I'm just a fucking weirdo, and I just think it sounds really hot.
You're like, I would dream about this.
I'm just like, oh.
Well, okay, for me, actually, I thought of something while you were talking, because mine isn't a thirst necessarily, as I really think he's a fantastic actor.
Sure.
I think he's great.
It's a platonic, respectful thirst. Mine is just disrespectful.
Yeah, yours is no holds barred.
No, yeah.
I want to see him really, really badly in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Dude, if he starred or was like a, you know, like a co-star or whatever it is in a Tarantino film, his acting chops and Tarantino's general direction and the kind of stories he tells, Pedro Pascal, fucking icon. He's already an icon, but that would elevate him.
That would be sick.
Dude, I think that would kill it. Or like a David Fincher style movie, he needs like a real auteur.
Yeah.
But I think they got to be really dark, a really dark auteur who really knows what. Because David Fincher, now that I think about it, he's very serious in his films. So like, you know, fucking Seven and shit.
I was gonna say, if Pedro Pascal just replaces Brad Pitt in Seven. Like, just see where that happened. Like,
yeah, something similar, right?
Yeah.
Or even, like, Gone Girl. Get rid of Ben Affleck. Put Pedro Pascal
in
that
shit. Holy shit, that would have been bananas. Cuckoo bananas bonkers crazy.
Or Denis Villeneuve, who did Prisoners and Sicario and Blade Runner 2049. Like, that kind of director. Like, dude, put Pedro Pascal in the lead role with one of these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And we've got ourselves, like, Oscar bait right there.
Oscar bait, yeah.
Oscar bait for sure, but I really think if he was in a Tarantino movie, no question he'd nail it. Like, not even a question. So, yeah, that's my franchise pick. Not really a franchise, but I think
it's a good enough answer.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think that would be ideal for him. And then my favorite, obviously, Oberyn Martell. I think, no matter what, like, that was just... Nobody else can do that role. If they would have cast anyone else, impossible. But then I think that for the Mandalorian, too.
The sad, sad alternate universes where someone else played Oberyn Martell.
Yeah, fuck that. I don't like it. Not a fan. Okay, now this one's just for you. You find yourself in a Los Angeles coffee shop with very little foot traffic, and Pedro Pascal walks in, orders the exact same drink while Britannia's screaming in the background, and sits right next to you. Do you approach him, and what is the first thought going through your head right then and there?
Yeah, and then my alarm goes off. Oh, man, this is good. This is interesting, because... Yeah, I know, Britannia, I know.
I was like, what the fuck are you gonna do?
No, Britannia's just like, this is bait. No, okay, so when we were at Ren Faire, I ran into someone who is very, very popular. I don't want to say that he's famous, but someone who I respect incredibly. Like a voice actor that I respect incredibly, and like does the D&D show that I love a whole lot. And I saw him, but I immediately thought, I'm sure he's getting this from all sides all day, so I'm going to make this as quick and painless as humanly possible, because I still want to say something, but I don't want to be like, can I be your best friend for the next 20 minutes?
Yeah. By the way, I love you, yes.
Huh?
But the beer saying, like, oh, by the way, I love you, blah, 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 blah.
Right. So, and like, so I for him, what I did at the Ren Faire is I walked up to him and I said, hi, because he was in the middle of a conversation. I apologized profusely. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say hi, and that I'm a huge fan of your work, and I'm just, just I kept it very, very brief. And he was really, really sweet about it. And he said, oh, thank you. I hope you have a great run fair, you know. And I just, I kept it very, like, I think it was, like, all in all, like, a 15-second conversation. And then I said, great, thank you, have a great day, and I left. And so, and but my hands were shaking. Like, I was, like, I didn't ask for a photo. I didn't, like, I wasn't, I didn't want to draw attention to the fact that it was him because it was a fucking run fair, and I'm sure a bajillion people knew who he was. So it was one of those things where I, like, I would like to think in that same situation, I would be internally screaming, but externally wanting to be respectful of, like, the fact that celebrities are people, too.
Yeah, that's true. And then, you know, with my current, like, career things happening right now, I have run into a couple people that I'm just like, oh, cool, I've seen you perform and blah, 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 blah.
Right,
but
exactly.
But at the end of the day, you do realize, like,
they're people.
They're people. Because I remember seeing somebody go up that, like, gave a really good performance on stage, right? And I saw him backstage, and I was like, oh, that's right, that was a performance, because right now, they're just look annoyed at their phone and are trying to plan their fucking... I was like, oh, right, because they're just a fucking human being.
Right, because
that
just,
happens sometimes.
Just a person, and, like, they just found out that their flight was delayed or whatever. Like,
yeah, some bullshit, right? And you're just like, don't want... The last thing you want to fucking hear is some good... Hey, by the way, did you look really good?
Right. So...
yeah.
And I think if I were ever to be so fucking lucky, and he wasn't surrounded by just balls-to-the-wall security...
Yeah.
I think I would do something very similar, and just, I would be like, hi, I'm a huge fan, you're awesome, and if I could take a photo, I would, but if not, it's also cool. Because he also seems to really like taking photos with fans, so.
That was one of his Reddit AMAs. Somebody was like, dude, like, if I ever saw you, like, would you be able to, he's like, oh, I would love it. Like, I love my fans. Like, totally asked me.
Aww.
That was his answer.
Aww.
I'm like, what a good guy, and his working out kind of freaks him out, so he drinks, like, fast food. I was like, who is this man?
No, he seems tight as hell. Yeah, so that's my dream girl answer, where it's just like, I think I would try to play it cool. I would play it as cool as possible, so.
Mm-hmm. Same here. I guess I would, too. I don't know. Probably.
I like how you're like, this is your question, but I'm gonna answer it.
But also, like, yeah, probably pretty similar. Probably
I mean, you'll probably be more likely to run into him than me.
I live in the area, but yeah. but also, if let's say we were to drop this man into one horror franchise, just one, and he is the Jamie Lee Curtis of this particular installment, what would it be? Where
Ooh.
Would he fit? Where
Ooh.
Would he fit in horror?
Like as the final girl?
Yeah, like as like the something that the story's based around, but also. It's a horror, like, it's a famous horror franchise. Which one do you think he kind of fits in?
Oh, man.
I know, it's a tough one.
Do you have your answer?
Not really. I mean, I'm thinking about it right now. Sometimes I write these and I'm just like, I don't want to think about it too much because I feel like our on-the-fly works a little bit better.
It's good when we riff a little.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I love, because we were talking about him earlier, I love Matthew Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Skeet Ulrich, but, like, him as one of them in Scream?
Scream?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
I think it would have been tight as hell.
Dude, Pedro Pascal in Scream?
Yeah.
As Ghostface? Or not as Ghostface, but...
But as one of them?
No?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fucking fantastic. He would nail that psycho confession.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker.
Like, I love Matthew Lillard, so I'm not trying to, like, shit on Matthew Lillard here. Never mind. I was going to say something inflammatory, but I'm going to keep it to myself. but, like, I think Pedro Pascal could fucking nail the, hey, man, I'm getting kind of woozy here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, definitely.
In terms of, like, line-for-line delivery. I know it's not exactly the Jamie Lee Curtis of the series, but in terms of iconography, I think he'd fucking kill it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even then, like, a Scream, you know, another Scream installment. I think he would, if it was around him,
yeah,
that actually wouldn't be a bad move. Okay, I'm in it. I can dig that one.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, and then for me, you know what? Fucking give him, shit.
Yeah.
Give him Chucky.
Ah.
Give him Jennifer Tilly up in that bitch. Have, like, a whole dynamic going on, you know?
Okay.
Fucking, he goes into a new house or whatever, his new neighbor. There's a fucking doll. And then he's got a daughter. Have that dad energy going on. She fucking loves the doll, but he knows something's up. He kind of... I think he could kind of, like, shepherd and lead a Chucky. He actually wouldn't be that bad.
Interesting. Okay, so you're making a new franchise, or making, or you're adding in, you're doing a new addition to the to a franchise for
yes.
For this. Okay, for me, I was like, I am replacing someone. That's how I thought of it. That's how that's how I read the question. But okay.
Oh my bad. More like the lead Jamie Lee Curtis.
Gotcha.
Aspect of it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I would say Chucky. He can totally do like a Chucky.
That would be fun. He would. That'd so be a basically, lot of fun. Like the Devon Sawa. Of
kinda, yeah.
Because he's
yeah,
also because Devon Sawa was also a dad in the TV show.
Oh, but you haven't seen the TV show, huh?
I have not.
Okay, so you're definitely missing some context there. But it would be because the Devon Sawa part's kind of complicated to talk about. But
oh, okay,
but, yeah. So I was like, I think that's what the preview says. There's it's still accurate, but there's way more to it.
Spicy.
No, you should watch the Chucky series. It's fucking fantastic.
I will.
It's really good. And I think also, I think with this Pedro Pascal thing, it'd be a little more straightforward than how they do it in the series. But I do think as a lead, he would kind of kill it. Like, he'd do really good. Or, like a Ghostbuster or something. I don't fucking know.
Or a Ghostbuster. That would be fun.
Right.
That would be funny.
But okay, now that we're here, I mean, I don't really care about Kill the Film. I don't remember a lot of them, to be honest.
No.
But, you know what? Let's just rate this bitch.
Sure.
What would you rate Blood-Sucking Bastards out of 5 signed posters from Matthew Lillard?
2.75.
Okay, 2.75. That's not bad.
It's respectable.
Yeah, 2.5 for me.
Okay, because I wasn't going to give it a 3, because that's too much. And I wasn't going to give it a 2.5, because that seemed too little. So I'm splitting the difference.
Yeah, I think it's right down the middle for me. It is. It's just right there. It's not really bad. It's good enough. It's a movie.
It's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, he really carries the movie. But, you know, there's still, like, 90 minutes of content and, like, maybe half an hour. He's, like, on a third of it, so.
He's not in a lot of it. And that's something I kind of knew going into it, because there's not a lot of GIFs or anything of him on the internet from this movie. So I knew he wasn't in a lot of it. But I think it's still worth a watch, especially if you are a fellow Pedro Pascal aficionado at this point.
Yes. And again, like the conditions that one of you said, like have a couple beers, you know, it's on. Fucking watch it. It's good.
Agreed.
Do your thing. You know, you'll have some enjoyment and then you can just forget about it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's it. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. That was Bloodsucking Bastards from 2015, as well as our treatment on Pedro Pascal.
I mean, he's a cool dude.
He is a pretty cool dude. Yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Next week, we're going into a topic that actually usually fucks me up pretty bad. But I'm really excited to talk about it. We are going into religious trauma and all the topics therein. So it'll be a fun conversation. We may or may not have a guest. I need to confirm a couple things. But I hope we will, because she's a fucking delight. And she loves this movie as much as I do. So
I can't wait. I've known nothing about this. I'm going in blind.
I am so excited for you, Anthony Fuentes.
Oh, my. If it's anything like fucking Goodnight Mommy, Jesus.
No. It's worse.
Fun.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. It'll be fun. Okay. So
I prepared myself.
Yeah, no. I'm
ready. Watch it on Sunday. I'm watching it on Sunday.
I'm so excited for you. Oh my gosh. So make sure you join us for that. And then in the meantime, please, if you guys could do us a huge favor and just make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening. And if you could just take a couple minutes and write us a review on iTunes, or just make sure you've rated us on iTunes or Spotify. It does help other people find the podcast. It's been a while since we've gotten a review on iTunes, and I just want to make sure that, you know, I mean, we can boast that 5-star rating, but I just want to make sure that we can stay relevant in the charts. So if you guys could do that, that would be super, super helpful. And then if you want to support the podcast, we do have a Patreon. We are at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. We have tiers as low as $5 a month, so feel free to check that out. We might be getting a revamp soon, so definitely be on the lookout for that as well.
Yay, yay.
And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROBLE People's Podcast. And you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
That's me.
And I am on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Always, forever and always talking about Pedro Pascal.
That's right.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And I have no funny, witty way to end this recording, but just hail Pedro Pascal.
Pascal's the boy. I agree.
Bye.
See ya.